So this morning I want to talk about the idea of being ignorant and being ignorant of the things of God. Look at Leviticus chapter 5, beginning in verse 17. Beginning in verse 17. And if a soul sin and commit any of these things which are forbidden to be done by the commandments of the Lord, though he know it not, yet he is guilty. He shall bear his iniquity. And he shall bring a ram without blemish out of the flock with thy estimation for a trespass offering unto the priest. And the priest shall make an atonement for him concerning his ignorance, wherein he erred and knew it not, and it shall be forgiven him. It is a trespass offering. He hath certainly trespassed against the Lord. And so they have these rules and these laws that they are supposed to be remembering, that sacrifices and this service that they had to do to God. But if they trespassed against some of these rules that that God was giving them at this time, and even if they didn't know it, it was still a trespass, it was still an offense, and he says that they were still guilty. So on top of whatever it was they were supposed to be doing, now they have an additional trespass offering to make, and that was this ram without blemish out of the flock. Now, a ram was kind of a big deal. You know, it wasn't like if you were ignorant of a sin and maybe it wasn't your fault, and you know, you went and bought a cheap, relatively cheap turtle dove or something like that and sacrificed that. No, you had to give up a ram without blemish. So it's kind of a big deal to be ignorant at this time. And so if you wanted to make your relationship with God correct, then you had to go through these additional steps on top of whatever it was that you had overlooked to become to make that right with God. And so if you think about it, you know, that we deal with this also in our lives. There are laws in the state of Texas and in this country where not knowing that you were breaking a law is not a defense against such a law. And because the crime in the case of the laws may be deemed serious enough that that it doesn't matter, that you should still face punishment. But the principle is there that ignorance is not necessarily an excuse. And so we'll talk a little bit about the implications of this in the morning. I'm sorry, a little bit later this morning. But it's also this way whenever you're a child, right? Sometimes we trespass, and I know, and maybe my parents were more strict than others, but whenever I was growing up, if you trespassed against a rule, even if you didn't know it was a rule, you were still subject to punishment of that rule because you either should have known better or you could have known better if you had wanted to or if you had given the effort to know. And so ignorance is not always a defense, particularly not in the Bible. Someone might say, well, I didn't mean to break that rule. I didn't mean to disobey God. I just didn't know. But like I said, you should have. And apparently, even though ignorance is not necessarily a valid excuse here in this life, it wasn't to God either. And someone says, well, this was the Old Testament, and things were a lot stricter then. What about today? Turn with me to Acts chapter 17. Probably you've already thought about this. Acts chapter 17. Is ignorance an excuse today? Well, toward the end of the chapter there, Paul is making a speech on Mars Hill. He's talking to them about what they called the unknown God. So they admitted that they probably didn't know everything and that there was probably more they should know. And so they were going to try to cover their bases and just take a stab in the dark and say, we're going to make this altar toward the unknown God. So Paul's reasoning with them and trying to tell them how foolish it is to think that God is made of gold or of stone. And furthermore, it's foolish to think that you can't know God. Right? That's the point. He says here that you could grope after him and find out that he is not very far from any of us. He is all around us, and he does not want us to be ignorant. Look at verse 30 here. He says, "And the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent." Why? Is it just for our personal growth? I'm sure it is for that. Is it just because? Is it just because maybe it's the right thing to do? It could be that as well. But notice what he goes on to say. "Because he hath appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men that he hath raised him from the dead." And so the reason that Paul gives that we should repent, despite the times of ignorance, despite the fact that at one time we were ignorant, the reason that Paul gives here is because there's going to come a day when he will judge us. And if you are guilty of sin, ignorant or not, then you're still guilty. And God cannot allow those who are blemished to be with him for eternity in his eternal home. And so, of course, we have that man, he's talking about Jesus here, that he ordained, and that he has given assurance unto us that we can be saved and that our sins can be forgiven if we repent of them, because he raised Jesus from the dead. And someday, if we take advantage of that offering, then he will raise us from the dead as well. And so you see, this passage is not so very different from the passage that we read in Leviticus chapter 5, where they sinned, and it may have been ignorant, but they had to make an offering. They had to make an offering to appease God and to go back and to get back into a relationship with him. Well, we don't have to make an offering of a ram or anything else, because Jesus already did that for us. The offering has already been made. We have to simply accept that offering and to live in obedience to him. So in other words, our offering is to give up our ignorance and to seek after him, lest happily we might find him here in the context of this passage. And so the belief that that some graven image could somehow have powers, some gold or silver image, the belief that some man other than Jesus might have power, or the belief and the trust in our own understanding will not save us in the end, because all of these things reveal our ignorance. But Jesus is the Word and the truth that reveals the mind of God. We can know God, and we can know what it means to actually repent. And furthermore, we can know what our sins are. We don't have to be ignorant anymore. Back in the times of ignorance, God's word wasn't fully revealed. They had the law of Moses, but it couldn't take away sin. And they were waiting eagerly for the coming time whenever Jesus would reveal the final part of God's word that would complete everything and show how that he and reveal the final part of God's will. We live in that time where we can know God and we can know what his will is. And so ignorance is no longer an excuse, even though it in time past, if you weren't of the children of Israel, he might have winked at that ignorance. He will not anymore. And so it is that it does not matter where you are. It doesn't matter what your circumstances are, and it doesn't matter what your past is. He still commands you to repent of your sins. And it's easy to know what sins are because we have that revealed for us right here. These people believed in idols, and many people still do today. They may not make up a golden image, but they have their own idols. And I mentioned some of the things that those could be: people, our own understanding, or something physical that we trust in whenever we really should be trusting in the Lord. But regardless, it is our responsibility to know God. He has done everything that he needs to do. He has told us what it takes to be saved. He has sent his Son as the Word to reveal the Word, and he has recorded that and passed it down through the ages in the Bible. And so he has reached out to us, and now he wants to see who loves him enough to take the final step toward him and consummate that relationship with Him. And so whenever you start to think about the fact that ignorance is not acceptable to God, then we begin to realize just how important it is to make sure that we are right with Him. Everything that we do could be held against us, not in a court of law, but on that day in judgment. If we do not have a relationship with Him, and we have not taken advantage of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ to have those sins removed, then those sins could be read back to us on the day of judgment whenever He reads back the record of our deeds. And we do not want to be in that position where He's separating the sheep from the goats and He tells us, "Depart from me, you unprofitable servant." We want to be told, "Come in to my rest." But we'll only do that if we seek after Him and we have this relationship and we willingly put away the ignorance. A lot of times people will say, "Well, I didn't know how to do that," or "I didn't know that." And it could be incompetence. It could be that you didn't know, right? It could be ignorance. But a lot of times people may mean that it wasn't a priority to them and that it wasn't a big enough deal to them to make that leap, to make that choice to actually learn, to know, to gain the knowledge. And so it is that God wants us to give that effort. He gave the effort already. He sent His Son to die. There's no greater thing that you could do. Sending your child to die is harder than dying yourself. If you don't have children, then you can't maybe understand that. But the truth is, sending your very son to die is harder than even dying yourself. And God did that for us. And so now He wants us to appreciate that and reach out to Him. Thessalonians 5:22. 1 Thessalonians 5:22. How clean do we need to try to keep ourselves? Is it just coming to church, you know, once or twice a week? Is it saying a prayer before a meal? How much effort do we need to put into this? Well, here in 1 Thessalonians 5:22, he says, "Abstain from all appearance of evil, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is He that calleth you, who also will do it." And notice what he says here. He says, "Abstain from all appearance of evil." So there are things that are evil. There are things that appear to be evil, and there are things that are very evil, and there are things that are maybe the world would tell us are not so evil. Maybe you hear this in the terminology of a white lie or some sort of a lesser sin that maybe doesn't have a lot of consequences to other people, and so we might consider it to be less of a big deal. But he says here to abstain from all appearance of evil. That is, any way that evil might appear, any kind of evil that you can observe or see or partake in, abstain from that. Why? Because you need to keep yourself unspotted. You need to keep yourself sanctified completely. If you do this, if you don't partake in the unclean things, if you don't partake in the evil things, but separate yourself from them, that's the idea of abstaining, then He will sanctify you wholly, and that He will preserve your spirit, your soul, and your body blameless. And you will be resurrected with the Lord Jesus Christ because He is faithful. He is faithful. We must be faithful in return in order to complete our relationship with Him. So whenever you really think about the consequences of this verse, all appearance, that is, any evil, no matter how small, no matter how big, it doesn't matter. You abstain from all of it. Do not associate with it. Do not participate in it. This becomes quite a commandment. And so we are not to avoid sin, but also the possibility that it might look like we are sinning or partaking or condoning in something. So make sure that we are right with God. Someone might ask, how do I know that I am right with God? And how do I keep myself from sinning without knowing it? The easiest answer, well, maybe not the easiest, but the simplest answer to this is simply to study. One word, study. God is pleased with you when you are doing what He says, but the only way to know what He says is to study His Word. And so the question is, of how do I keep myself from sinning ignorantly is answered by replace that ignorance with knowledge. Knowledge of God's will. Knowledge of who He is and who He wants us to be. We already talked a lot about Jesus being the Word and that He has given the effort to show us the Word. So the way that we pass knowledge from individual to individual is the Word. That's why God sent His knowledge to us as the Word, so that we can understand what it is. Remember what Hosea said in Hosea chapter 4 and verse 6, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge." People today can be destroyed for a lack of knowledge. You can get caught up in a sin without realizing it or until it's too late. Even if you realize it later, there may be consequences for that, intended and unintended at times. But we still have to bear those consequences, just like David with his child with Bathsheba. "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee, that thou shalt be no priest to me. Seeing that thou hast forgotten the law of thy Lord, I will also forget thy children." And so he says there that they have rejected knowledge. God has given us the Word, and if we don't know what it is because we have rejected it. Not because He didn't reveal it well enough or because He didn't make it known to us. It's known. It's out there for everyone to see. You can get a copy of the Bible anywhere, almost. If we have a lack of knowledge, it is because we have rejected it. Think about an example, though. There's another example in the Scripture where someone was ignorant. If you remember in Genesis chapter 20, Abraham was camped in Gerar, and he was afraid to call Sarah his wife because he thought that they might kill him for her. And so he told them that she was his sister. And so the story goes that Abimelech, the king, took her. And as he was going into her, God told him that he was a dead man because he had taken another's wife. God revealed to him what he couldn't know. But God revealed it to him. And so, because he repented right then and there, God spared the king's life. Even though the king did not know that Sarah was Abraham's wife, God was still holding him accountable to the fact that she was. But whenever the king knew the truth, he repented and saved his life, therefore. And so whenever we discover that we have sinned, we too must have that heart of repentance. We too must turn away from that thing that it was. Don't wait for someone to tell you. You must be proactive and you must try to find out what the will of the Lord is consistently and constantly. And each of us will grow as we go through time. We will think that we have the will of the Lord, and as we mature and grow and as we experience more of life and we learn to apply the word of the Lord more wholly, then we will even better begin to understand what the will of the Lord is. One final passage this morning, 1 Timothy chapter 1. Beginning in verse 11. "According to the glorious gospel of the blessed Lord, which was committed to my trust, and I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. I, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious, but I obtained mercy, because I did it ignorantly in unbelief, and the grace of the Lord was exceeding abundant, with faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Howbeit, for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. And unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. Paul recognizes that even though he was sinning ignorantly, and because he was sinning ignorantly, God gave him the opportunity to repent. And so it is with any person who is truly seeking to do the will of God. God will give you the opportunity to know his will and to apply it to your life. Some people are really worried. Have I sinned ignorantly and I don't know it? Am I going to be held accountable for that? And the answer is you may have sinned ignorantly, but trust in the Lord and continue to draw near to him and to search out his will, and he will make it known to you. And you will eventually, just like Paul, as Paul said here, he said he did this to me so that everyone hereafter would know how long-suffering and merciful that Jesus Christ and God is. And so we can count on that faithfulness and that long-suffering. Repent of your sins today, and he will forgive you. Seek after him, and he will reveal that to you. And so this morning, it may be that you know that you're a sinner, and you need to be forgiven of your sins. In that case, we pray that you will take the opportunity in just a moment to come forward and to accept his mercy and submit yourself to him. And it may be that even today something is revealed to you, and you know and you learn how to correct your life and to draw closer to him. We pray that you would soften your heart and that you would take opportunity to do that. And if there's anything that we can do for you, we pray that you would come while we stand and sing the song of invitation.